This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A little rundown over some of the major threads that have been taking place in the news over the last couple of days. First up, of course, Dr. Mahathir is coming home from his five-day trip in China, which I believe has been quite productive.
It has. And because it's been productive, there have been a lot of headlines ahead of his return. We're going to run through some of them very quickly. We're going to address some of them in a bit more depth later on. But to start things off, of course, we've been hearing a lot about the projects that have been agreed between Malaysia and China, Malaysia here being the previous government. And so what's going on is that the East Coast Rail Link, or the ECRL, and other projects that the previous government awarded to Chinese firms have been cancelled. Since China's President Xi Jinping has agreed with Malaysia's priority to reduce debt and also to not take on projects that don't benefit us. Here, Dr. Mahathir responds to a journalist's question about the ECRL.
It will be deferred. Until such time when we can afford, and maybe we can reduce the cost also if we do it differently.
So Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad also spoke today, and I quote, of the stupidity of Dato' Sri Najib Razak's government, specifically addressing contracts and deals which his administration is now trying to untangle.
Well, if we have to pay compensation, we have to pay. This is the stupidity of the negotiation before. Why do you enter into such agreement? You pay huge compensation if you don't go ahead. There must be exit clauses in all agreements, and the exit clauses must be fair for both parties. But there, if we cancel, then we have to pay huge sums of money for the high-speed train. We have negotiated, and if we fail to do it, The amount of compensation is more than half a billion ringgit. Such stupidity has never been seen in the history of Malaysia.
Yeah, and this is all information that I guess we were not privy to in the past. Dr. Mahathir had said contracts negotiated with Chinese companies for the ECRL and pipeline projects had no exit clauses, so Malaysia has to pay out huge sums in compensation.
Those are strong words, aren't they?
The stupidity has never been seen before. Yes, pretty much.
I know, it's a huge declaration. And in a separate press briefing with Chinese Premier Li Keqiang, Tun M cautioned against a new version of colonialism. I thought this was a particularly interesting point.
Right.
It was a very pointed expression of Asian unease about the China's increasing economic and political influence in the region. We also have some tape of that.
Well, I agree with you that free trade should be the way to go. But of course, free trade should also be fair trade. We should always remember that countries, the level of development of countries are not all the same. We do not want a situation where there is a new version of colonialism happening because poor countries are unable to compete with rich countries in terms of just open free trade. It must also be fair trade. In that, I support free trade together with President Lee, Prime Minister Lee, because I think this is the way to go for the whole world.
All right. I guess another piece of big news, a pointed call for Malaysians abroad to come back and I quote, make us strong again. This is actually a story we're going to be getting into in greater depth is all clearly on my mind, but greater depth in a little while.
And moving on to news that is, well, to do with Dr. Mahathir, if not directly, related to him.
Yeah.
We've been discussing how there's been a lot of uncertainty surrounding the future of the Council of Eminent Persons.
Yeah, we just spoke about it yesterday.
Yes, we did, because, of course, they've passed their 100-day mark and there seems to be some confusion about whether or not they're going to continue, whether or not they've reached their goals. And as it happens, we're really not the only ones who are confused. At a press conference yesterday, Tun Daim Zainuddin, the head of the CEP, announced that the council had fulfilled its task and was no longer.
Our mandate is 400 days, as I mentioned earlier. Our last day was yesterday. When he comes back, I will make appointment to see him and consult him about role he has in mind. Yeah. In the meantime, as far as we're concerned, we have finished our 100 days and everybody has come back to their respective jobs. You know? These are volunteers.
Yeah, but of course, Tun Dr. Mahathir had responded saying that Tun Daim is still needed to chair the CEP. And I quote, "I want him to be there to do part of my job to trace the money." This, of course, is in reference to 1MDB funds. "I didn't dismiss him. In fact, I don't pay him a single cent," Dr. Mahathir said when he was asked about Daim's future.
I think it's a good thing he's coming home today and they can talk.
So, yeah, so I think that's what it is. I mean, it feels from Tun Daim's statement that he didn't want to take anything for granted. I think he was going off the back of Dr. Mahathir's previous statement saying, "Oh, no, 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 the CEP is still necessary because I'm 93 years old and I can't do everything myself."
Correct. And I think I'm not sure whether, you know, this is of huge concern for many, but I do think it will be a comfort generally for people to know kind of where this is headed and what it's achieved.
Even for the volunteers.
Exactly. Yeah. The volunteers, as you say, and as Tun Daim said. As on a separate note, CEP recommendations have included changes to the country's Bumiputera policy in order to induce a positive mindset change among the community, although there aren't...
That would be revolutionary if it happens, but if, yes.
Yes, they haven't released a lot of details surrounding that. Sort of, this is just the big headline. And the other is that there needs to be a complete revamp to focus off the finance ministry to focus on bringing in more money for the country. And they say it must no longer be riddled in financial scandals and instead be focused on increasing revenue, which, I mean, is...
it's common sense, la.
It's everyone's hope, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
Also, apparently, Lynn, a radioactive device has gone missing.
Yes, that's right. Not for the first time.
Oh, yes, that too. This is, of course, from Inspector General of Police, Tanji Muhammad Fuzi Harun. 23 kilogram radioactive dispersal device worth 75,000 ringgit has gone missing, but it wasn't the first time such a thing has happened.
Yes, that's right. And in the previous case, I think they found it among scrap metal. This time, the cause of the... the motive behind the theft is still uncertain. They haven't been able to determine that. They've also had to release two men who were part of the transportation of the device. And they were detained, their statements obtained, and they've since been released. So we still don't really know who's behind it either.
Yeah, but they have ruled out terrorism as a motivation, right? Maybe they just wanted to get their hands on 75,000 ringgit.
So that's the good news, yes.
Yeah.
Moving on to international news. Yesterday, the New York Times reported that prominent Me Too advocate and actress Asia Argento made payments to the actor and musician Jimmy Bennett after he accused her of sexually assaulting him. So this is huge news, of course, because Asia Argento has been one of the most vocal proponents of Me Too. She was one of the first women to accuse the now disgraced movie mogul Harvey Weinstein of sexual misconduct.
Yeah.
And back in May, actually, she gave a rousing speech at the Cannes Film Festival about Weinstein. We have audio of that moment. Here it is.
In 1997, I was raped by Harvey Weinstein here at Cannes. I was 21 years old. This festival was his hunting ground. I want to make a prediction. Harvey Weinstein will never be welcomed here ever again. He will live in disgrace, shunned by a film community that once embraced him and covered up for his crimes. And even tonight, sitting among you, there are those who still have to be held accountable for their conduct against women, for a behavior that does not belong in this industry, does not belong in any industry or workplace. You know who you are. But most importantly, we know who you are. And we're not going to allow you to get away with it any longer.
Yeah, very strong words at this year's Cannes Film Festival. But of course, I mean, this was a shocking revelation. This prompted me to text you in the wee hours of the morning going, what is happening in the world?
That's the thing, right? I think what the reaction to this is, for a lot of people, it's thrown the very concept of the Me Too movement into turmoil. They're wondering whether, you know, they can deal with the hypocrisy of it. Because, of course, it is a hypocritical thing for somebody to say, that they shouldn't abuse a position of power within the film industry.
Correct.
To then have assaulted somebody who is much younger than them, who is technically under the age of consent in California. There are a lot of issues surrounding this case. But what's important to me is that there needs to be a recognition that it's more that she is not the movement. She is a person.
Absolutely.
Right? And people need to be held accountable for their individual behaviors, whereas movements function on the strength of everyone in it, not
correct,
just one person.
And also, I think because of how emotive the conversation has been surrounding this issue. And while everyone is aware that the Me Too movement isn't a gender-specific movement, that it can happen to men, and it has happened to men in Hollywood as well, I think there have been far and few examples of it. The problem is that this unfortunate example comes from one of the champions of the movement. And I think, yeah, there are enough of people, not just Harvey Weinstein Harvey Weinstein's lawyers, who want to see individuals like Asia Argento suffer, right? And yeah, I mean, this information was leaked. I mean, like you said, there was a relationship between she was 38, he was 17 years old. It was below the age of consent in Los Angeles, and this information was leaked to the New York Times, and they got documentation. It was all confirmed by the respective lawyers, so it wasn't false evidence or anything like that. And so now it'll be interesting to see where the conversation goes. And I don't mean I don't just mean on Twitter and social media, but I guess among the movement and its proponents as well.
I think so. And the most interesting and helpful bit of, I guess, representation that I've seen has been from Tarana Burke, who originated the Me Too movement,
right,
before it kind of caught fire again recently.
And also became a celebrity thing, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, she originally used it for victims of sexual assault who were in underserved communities. And she spoke about the importance of recognizing that the movement is the movement and that we have to be able to have uncomfortable conversations, especially when it turns out to be women who are the perpetrators of the crimes, and especially when it turns out to be your favourites. You know, the whole concept of problematic faves is important here.
Absolutely. Let's wrap things up with a happier story.
Yes, a much happier story.
If you will. Families that have been separated for decades in Korea were reunited as Seoul and Pyongyang kind of pushed ahead with their humanitarian engagement, even though, nuclear talks between the U.S. and North Korea have stalled. This happens every now and again where families from North and South Korea kind of reunite for minutes.
It's been 3 years, though,
since the last one,
right? So yeah. This is huge, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I say minutes. These guys were allowed about 11 hours together. But it's a really kind of touching moment. I mean, cameras were present, and they managed to record some reactions to the reunion.
I think I
know you can't see it because it's radio, but I'm assuming those were the sounds of hands patting backs as they were being hugged.
Yes, I think what's most heartbreaking about all of this is that because it's been nearly 7 decades since the war, so 21...
Wow, it's been almost
7 decades. So a lot of the people at these reunions are 90 and above, 80 and above, and they haven't seen each other for years and years. And these 11 hours are kind of their only opportunity to catch up on all the things that can possibly happen in 70 years, right? It's, you know, have you had grandchildren? Who have you married? Where do you live now? And there are all these things that we take for granted in our daily family having lives.
Yeah, I mean, you know, apart... whatever comes of the U.S. nuclear, U.S.-Korea nuclear talks aside, I think it's important that the North and the South kind of power through this movement of reconciliation, right? Because they are essentially, they are the same people.
Yes, they are.
That have been separated for 70 years by a DMZ and some landmines, right? But for the most part, these are families that have been torn apart.
Exactly. And I'm really hoping that it doesn't take another 3 years. It's a long time for a 90-something-year-old. A 101-year-old apparently made the trip this time as well.
Yeah, that was like 89, 101. That's incredible.
I just think they shouldn't have to wait 3 years for the next time they get to see their family again.
No, I agree. Those have been some of the, I guess, 5 stories that we thought were quite interesting over the last couple of days, actually. The Asia Argento story, you can find more details. There's a really in-depth article in the New York Times. They broke the story. You can go check that out. And also that comes off the heels of another story of a professor at a New York college who apparently apparently molested one of her students. And so there's a new thread to this conversation that is taking place. So go and read up on that. In the meantime, here is some music coming your way after these messages. Chuck Berry, Johnny B. Goode.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.